Hey, so glad that you are here today. If you didn't bring a Bible and you'd like to follow along, we got some Bibles going to be in Genesis chapter 19 for a little bit, and then jump around. The other scriptures will be on the screens today. But if you need a Bible, just raise your hand, and Donnie will bring one to you, and you can follow along. A couple things I forgot to mention in the announcements. We are going to have a membership class on January 23rd, 4 to 6 p.m. If you'd like to sign up for that, you can send an email to info@tworiverschurch.com or Karen@tworiverschurch.com. She sort of organizes that for us. And then also, we've been talking about a trip to the Waverly, Tennessee to work with Sharing Hope Disaster Relief. It's a work trip that we're going to do. We went last year down to Louisiana, and we're going to do it again this year. We're going to have an information meeting next Sunday in between services, in between the two services. So if you would like to find out more about that next Sunday after first service and before second service, we're going to be doing that. We're starting a new series. It's a new year, new series. We're going to call this Vertical, and we're going to tell you why in a little bit. But about a month ago, I had a conversation. I got a friend named Tanner Briel. Some of y'all may know the Briels. He has moved to Maryland, and from time to time, he'll call me, and we'll talk about the Bible. He has questions, and he was actually looking for a church up in Maryland, so we talked about that for a little while. And Tanner's also a great golfer. I mean, really, really good golfer. Played in high school and college. Played a little bit, working his way towards the played some pro level golf for a while, and now has kind of settled up in the Baltimore area. And so Tanner, when I talked to him, he always asked me the same thing: "How's your golf game?" And I had played recently when he called me, and I said, "It's terrible." You know, I mean, it's like I have never played the game. You know, it's like I go out there and I like to play, but when I get going, it's terrible. It's not fun the way I'm playing right now. Matter of fact, I played with some guys the other day been so nice. Has anybody been outside? Have you noticed it's 80 degrees like in December, January? Here it's like crazy. So Friday, I played with Brian and Caleb and Joel, one of our guys here with over at Carolina Colors, I think we were. And at the end of the round, I played so poorly. At the end of the round, I said, "Guys, look, that's it for me. I'm putting my clubs up. I'm not going to play for a while. I'm not going to play at least until next year." And that was Friday. So I have kept my word on that. I have not touched my clubs since last year. But Tanner said, "How's your golf game?" I said, "It's okay. You know, not great. I haven't been playing well." He said, "I'll tell you what. Let's have a conversation every once in a while, you know, every month or month and a half or whatever, and I'll ask you some Bible questions, and I'll give you some help on your golf game." And obviously, he's not going to be a swing coach from Baltimore. I guess we could video do it, but he said, "I'll help you with your mental game." And if you see me play golf, that's the right word for me. It is mental, right? Like, that's the way to describe the way I play. So it sounded like a win-win to me. I love talking about the Bible. I love helping people who are trying to make steps in that direction. And obviously, he is a glutton for punishment if he wants to help me with my golf game. And so it sounds like a winner. So we talked for a while, and I talked to him about some churches that I know, some guys that I know that are leading churches up in the Baltimore area. And then we talked for a long time about golf, and he gave me a lot of great thoughts and things. And let me just kind of summarize what I think he was trying to get across in a very, very, very nice way. He didn't say quit, but he did say, "Dave, you can't just show up to play golf, never practice, never train in any way, never make intentional changes to the way you think about how you play and the way you get around the golf course. Just get out of the car, go to the tee, and play. You can't do that and expect to make any difference," right? To expect to play better, to get better. "The only way I'm going to get better at golf," basically what Tanner is telling me, is to change something. To practice, to prepare, you have to decide that you want that kind of change. Now, here we are on the first Sunday of a brand new year. And one of the things I love about the way God created us and the way he created this world is that God consistently gives us new starting places. Right? Every day the sun comes up on a brand new day. guess what? Yesterday's gone. You might be able to go and try to fix some things or change some things, but you can't go live yesterday again. It's not possible. Right? Every day the sun rises on a new day, we get to choose which way we want to go. Yesterday is history. Only today and tomorrow can be changed. And anybody remember the movie Castaway with Tom Hanks? If you haven't seen it, I'm going to spoil it for you, okay? Like, this is spoiler, although it's 20 years old. If you haven't seen it by now, that's your fault, right? So Tom Hanks' character is a big deal with FedEx, and he travels all over the world making sure systems are in place to get packages delivered on time, and time is the thing for him, if you remember the movie. And on one of those trips, the FedEx plane that he is traveling on gets into a big electrical storm, thunderstorm over the sea, I think it was the Pacific Ocean somewhere, and goes down. He's the only survivor, and he washes up on a small island in the Pacific Ocean. I think it was Pacific. And the entire movie is about how he survived and how he made it off the island and was rescued. All right, that's the spoiler. Okay, and it's a pretty good movie, and there are parts of this movie that I really like. There are parts of it that I have talked about in sermons before. This is the movie Fire, remember that? And then he's got Wilson, like he finds in some of the shipping, some of the packages that were being shipped get washed up on the same deserted island, and he opens them and uses some of them for tools, and then this one volleyball, basically, it turns into his companion. He talks to this thing, and it's kind of funny. So at the end of the movie, after he does get rescued, and I won't tell you how, it's pretty interesting the way he finds himself away off the island, he had kept this one package. Do you remember this part? And it was sort of a symbol of the hope that he had to maybe return that to whoever sent it or get it to where it was supposed to go. After everything sort of shakes out with the people that he knew before he was stranded and cast away, he gets back in his old Jeep Cherokee and drives, I think it was to Texas. And he finds the original, I think it was the person who shipped this package that also washed up on the shore from that FedEx airplane. And he leaves it there for no one's there, and he drives back down the road, kind of a dirt road to a county or state road, and he literally is standing at this crossroad. You remember this part? And he puts his map up on the front of the hood of his car, and he's trying to decide which way to go. You know, one way takes him back to where he lived in Memphis. One way, I think, would be east. He'd go to the East Coast. One way would be maybe back towards or maybe towards the West Coast. And I love this idea. He stops here and has to decide. Literally, he has his whole life in front of him now. He's come through some very difficult things, and he gets to choose which way he wants to go. He has every opportunity to move forward and to choose where he wants to go. And I think the same is true for us today. Especially today, in the month of January, the very beginning of a new year, it gives us an opportunity to choose. Which way do we want to go? Which way do we see our lives going? To do better than we did the day before. And each year we can use this as a new starting point. And we just simply have to choose. Which direction do we want to go? Do we want to go down the same road we've been on, right, with the similar results and similar destinations? Or do we want to choose a new direction? The next few weeks is going to be about this choosing a rhythm in our lives that will help us grow closer to God. The last couple years have really disrupted, generally speaking, the rhythms of our lives, hasn't it? We haven't necessarily always had the opportunity to choose. And anytime you get bumped out of a rhythm, it's hard to kind of get back into that flow or that rhythm, that groove, right? That pattern that you follow or that cycle that you walk through. With or without knowing it, you have a rhythm in your life, and these things that you do routinely kind of shape the person that you are. Every day I get up about 6 a.m. I make coffee. I let Otis out. I get a bowl of cereal or a bagel, and somewhere around 7 o'clock, I like to kind of find the chair in the living room, and I sit down and watch about the first 15 minutes of Good Morning America. And they tell me the same stuff every day, right? How bad the world is. And then I kind of, after about 15 minutes of that, I get up and go get ready for work, get a shower, and get ready to go. That's my rhythm. Pretty much every day, I have a similar routine. Anybody else have kind of a routine, right? And don't we all then, to a certain extent, even if our routine is to not have a routine, we have a routine. We have a rhythm. And throughout my day, I kind of do similar things. I eat lunch similar times. I'll meet with certain people at certain times. Certain days of the week are for certain things, right? And at night, we kind of do some of the same things. Bonnie and I typically wind down, watch a little TV. We'll go to bed and start the whole clock over again, right? About 4 months ago, I had a little cold or allergy or something. I literally did test to see if it was COVID. Like, isn't it weird now you have to qualify everything? It wasn't COVID, you know. Okay, what if it was? But it wasn't in this case. I just felt a little froggy. You know, I just felt a little froggy. So I bought some, I don't even remember why or how I ended up with some tea at my house. I don't know if I was at the store and I said, I'm going to try some tea. You know, just kind of got this thing going. And so I bought some Earl Grey tea. And I had a little bit of lemon, and I added a little bit of honey for my throat. And for the first time in my life, I actually liked hot tea. Now, I had tried it a few times before, but I never really liked it. I had a really bad experience with hot tea one time when I was like in my 20s. I mean, not to go too far into it, but I had some hot tea. Later that day, I had the flu, and then I couldn't do hot tea anymore. Like, do I need to go any further than that? Like, you understand what I'm saying. Like, I just couldn't drink hot tea. But something this time clicked. And now, not only do I like it, like, I'm borderline addicted to hot tea. Each night now, for the last several months, it's been more than just a week or two, for several months, I'll heat up some hot water, I'll add a little lemon, honey, and I'll have some Earl Grey tea, like I'm a 90-year-old British guy. You know, like, I don't even know where it came from. I've started this new pattern, this new habit, a new rhythm in my life. And now, I just, before I go to bed, I'd like to have a spot of tea. So we all have, right, these certain rhythms that we live by. And here's what I want us to realize. We can alter those rhythms, right? Because what we're talking about are habits. The habits that determine the direction of the daily things that we do. Those rhythms actually determine what direction our lives go to a certain extent. And we get to choose. If I can all of a sudden, as a 50-year-old guy, choose to drink tea every night in the evening, then we can and we have the opportunity to do the things that get us back in sync with God, back into a rhythm with God. In Exodus chapter 19, God calls Moses up on Mount Sinai to meet with him. I want to read part of this passage if you want to follow along. I'm going to start in Exodus 19, starting in verse 16. Genesis is not Exodus. I'm looking at that like, that does not sound right. Verse 16, on the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace. And as the whole mountain trembled violently, and as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. The Lord descended to the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses went up. Moses goes up on the mountain to meet with God. See, there is this sense, even today, that to approach God, we have to go upwards, right? We have to go vertical. Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2 says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And I think that we spend a lot of time talking about the relationships that we have with each other, with people in this world, with our neighbors, trying to live out what Jesus said, you know, to love God and to love others, to love your neighbor as yourself. And I would call those relationships horizontal. Right, these are horizontal relationships, and they're very important. Matter of fact, we're going to talk about some of those horizontal relationships, but probably in February. But what about our relationship with God? When do we go up on the mountain to meet with God? And what does that look like? I actually had a totally different series planned and had been preparing until late this week. It all kind of occurred to me that maybe we should think first about this vertical, our relationship with God, going up the mountain to meet with God. Maybe we should think about that before we get to anything else this year. Because that's really what it's all about. Horizontal is very important. We're going to get there. But before we think about the horizontal, let's think about you and God. So for the next few weeks, I want us to think about those rhythms that help us grow in this vertical relationship with God. Maybe you've felt a little out of sync with God. Maybe there are times in your past where you've just felt like, you know where the Bible says, get in step with the Spirit, like you're just in step with God. There's this cadence to your walk with the Lord that just feels right in step. And now it's like you cannot find that cadence, that rhythm. I want to focus these next few weeks on some things that we can do to find that rhythm again, to work on that vertical relationship with God. And the first is very simple. All of these are very simple, and I want them to be very practical, things that we can actually do, things that we can, not so much that it's overwhelming, just enough that we could bite whatever portion God wants us to lean into, to find that rhythm again. And today I want us to simply think about God's Word. How much time are we spending, if any, in God's Word? Looking at Scripture, let me encourage you to do three simple things. And honestly, depending on where you are, it may be one thing this year when it comes to your Bible. First thing is read. Read your Bible. Figure out a way in your schedule to make room for this rhythm, to simply read your Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, if you want to know God, if you want to work on that vertical relationship with God, this is where we find, right? This is where we learn about who God is in his dealings with man. These are the words I believe that God wants us to have. As a church, we have what I would call a high view of Scripture, meaning we take the Word of God, we take the Bible as inspired, meaning God spoke to certain people throughout thousands of years, and they wrote down the things that God wanted them to write down, and then he preserved that for us. I also believe that the Bible is inerrant, without error. Right? Very little has been lost, if any. Just a few strokes of the pen over thousands of years in the scribes, right? The differences. And there's really, when it comes to textual criticism, when you look at what the Bible is and how many copies of it we have, there's no other book that even comes close to comparing. Yet we trust the Iliad, right? We can trust the Bible. So I just want you to know that when you come here, we think the Bible is where it's at. That this is where we go for our to learn about who God is and what he wants to do in our lives. And so we have a high view of Scripture. Paul says it has everything we need. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. How many of us need to be taught? Right? How many of us from time to time need to hear maybe a word of rebuke? How many times do we need to be corrected? How many of us need to be trained so that we can be righteous, right? So that we can be thoroughly equipped, so that we can grow that vertical relationship with God Almighty. The Hebrew writer said the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Man, if you don't need that, you're doing better than I am. Right? If you don't need for the Word of God to penetrate into your soul and spirit, right? Judging our thoughts and attitudes. Man, I know that I just simply, time in and time again, I need to be reconnected, recentered in God's Word. I need to allow it to become my default, not me. So God's Word has the ability to shape us into who God wants us to be. So let me encourage you to just do this simple thing. Read your Bible this year. There are tons of reading plans out there. We used to print one every year and hand them out or have them available. Listen, you don't have to go very far to find a very easy to use, typically app or website, or you can print something. Like, they're just out there. If you can't find one, just text me, call me, email me, and I'll send you something, right? A lot of us use YouVersion. It's a Bible app. You can download it to your phone or tablet or look at it on your computer. It has tons of reading plans. So let me just say, from a very practical standpoint, if you don't have that rhythm, reading your Bible in as a part of your life right now, bite off what you can do. Right? Here's what I always do. Oh man, I want to read my Bible more this year. I'm going to get into a 7-year reading plan, right? Where I'm going to read 12 hours a day. You know, like, it's like just there's no way you could actually do what, I think I can do. So if this hasn't been a part of your rhythm recently, maybe start with a simple 30-day plan or a 1-week plan. You don't have to jump right in and choose read through the whole Bible plan, right? Now, for some of us who have started plans like that in the past, let me give you this encouragement. Pick it back up, right? We get discouraged and we give up because we maybe miss a few days and we get behind. At least that's the way I do on these kind of reading plans. So don't worry about it. God doesn't care if we finish in a year. It's not important. We're not racing anyone. You're not more spiritual than the next guy if you happen to keep up with your Bible reading app. You know what I mean? Like, don't make it silly. Just make it work for you. Find God. Start climbing the mountain to be with God. Pick up where you left off. Here's the point. Do something. Let's work on that vertical. The second thing I want to encourage you to do this year, maybe that is a part of your rhythm, reading your Bible. But maybe you take it to another level. How about studying your Bible? So if you have the rhythm of reading your Bible, then move on to study. Reading God's Word is great. It's where we all need to start if we don't have that rhythm at all. But slowing down to study is a totally different thing. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." The King James actually says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." I like that word, study. Right? Do your best to present yourself, or study God's word. Study to show yourself approved to God. Slow down and really study God's word. Here's a simple Bible study approach. It's called the SOAP Bible study method. The S stands for Scripture. What if you took enough time to write out, like handwrite, the Scripture that you want to kind of think about and pray through? You'll be amazed at what God will reveal to you just by taking the time to slow down and write it out, right? So starts with Scripture. The O stands for observation. What do you see in the verses that you're reading? Who's the audience? What's the context? Are there repetition of words? What words stand out to you? Just observe God's word. Just think about it. The A stands for application. This is when God's word becomes personal. What is God saying to me today? And how can I apply what I just read to my own personal life? What changes do I need to make? Is there an action that I need to take? The A is for application. We're really good at looking at God's word, especially those of us who've been Christians for a while, and looking and seeing how God's word applies to somebody else. Oh, they're not doing it right. But what is God saying to me? How can I apply this? You actually learn, right? You learn a lot more by the application than you do just from knowledge. Like when you start putting those things into practice, then you really begin to understand what God's word is about. And finally, P stands for prayer. Pray God's word back to him. If he's revealed something to you during this time in his word, pray about it. Confess, right? If there's sin in your life that maybe this has revealed to you, confess that to God. See, I think we get kind of hung up on or fooled in thinking that we need someone else to teach the Bible to us. Just slow down and study the Bible yourself. The SOAP method is one of hundreds of methods. It's a simple one that I kind of like, and I know folks who have used it for years. Maybe it will work for you. Sometimes we have the bad habit of letting Google be our Bible study teacher, right? When we don't understand the Bible, we just Google it, and there are hundreds of opinions, if not thousands, right? But I think you can do better than Google. See, I think you can let the Holy Spirit lead you instead of whoever. God wants us to study his word, and that leads to the final thing I think you can build into your rhythm this year, and that's knowing God's word. Once you're in the habit of reading God's word and studying God's word, you'll begin to know God's word. When Jesus was tempted by the devil when in the wilderness, right? He didn't have to stop and look up the answer to the temptations that were put before him, did he? He didn't say, hang on, Lucifer, let me Google it, right? He didn't do that. No, he knew God's word. Why? Because he had studied God's word. That was part of the Jewish upbringing that he had. It was a part of him. Psalm 119:11 says, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Here's a challenge. Memorize a verse this year. When you're studying your Bible, reading your Bible, highlight something, say, I'm going to memorize this one verse. Maybe it's one this year. Maybe it's one per month. Maybe if you're really good at memorization, I'm not. I have everything I want to say written here because I can't remember much, right? If you're really good, maybe one per week. But memorize God's word. Hide it in your heart. Why? So that you won't sin against God. You don't get to that level of knowing God's word without reading and studying God's word. Psalm 119, verse 68 says, you are good, and what you do is good. Teach me your decrees, or teach me your word, God. See, if you want to get in sync with God, you have to allow God's word to teach and lead you. If you want to get vertical, right? If you want to climb the mountain to be with God this year, you got to know God's word. Now, whether you're ready to memorize and know God's word or just study, I mean, like pick one. Don't get discouraged if you say, oh, Dave, it's too much. Okay, read a verse a week. Read a chapter a day. You know what I mean? Like bite off what you can do. Don't tell me what you can't do. Pick something. And once you get in the rhythm of reading God's word, then maybe you'll get in the rhythm of studying God's word. And those things will allow you to know God's word. I'm going to wreck you for just a minute. You probably didn't notice this before. I'm going to point it out to you. Can we play the sermon bumper video again? Now listen here in just a second. Turn it up just a little bit more. Do you hear like something out of rhythm? It's like a totally different song playing. Do you hear it now? Raise your hand if you hear it. Raise your hand if you heard it the first time. Some of you did? Okay. Most of us didn't hear it the first time. This wasn't an intentional thing that I did, but I was working on this and putting this video together, and I was like, I listened to it, and I kept listening to it, and now guess what? I can't hear anything else. That's what's going to wreck you. For the next few weeks, you're only going to hear sort of the out-of-rhythm part of that. I don't really know why they did it. The track, the song, it has like two different little things going. And that's what I hope maybe the next few weeks is for you. That we would start to become aware of those places where we're out of sync with God and begin to do the hard work of getting back into rhythm with Him. Let's pray. God, we love You. We thank You for today. We thank You for this new day, for this new year. One in which we can choose what direction we want to go. So God, I just pray that as we think about those things, as we think about who You want us to be, Lord, that You would allow us to kind of get in sync with You by doing some very simple but productive and meaningful things in our lives. Lord, that we could build those into the fabric of our lives, into the rhythm, into the cadence of our everyday routines, that we would find time to climb that mountain and meet with You. God, I love You. I thank You for all of the horizontal relationships I have in our church family, in my family, in my neighborhood, in the people in our community. But Lord, for this moment, I just want to think about that vertical relationship I have with You. Lord, call me. Call us up onto the mountain to be with You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.